Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
There's a lot that could impress you about the all-new Honda Prologue EV. True, it's got class-leading passenger space and clean, thoughtful design and intuitive technology. But what really sets the Prologue apart from the competition is that it's more than an EV. It's a Honda. Honda, the power of dreams. Visit honda.com/prologue to learn more.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
You're listening to the Auburn Express. Powered by
the Whirlpool.
All aboard the AM departure from platform 334, the Auburn Express. We're running on time and expecting no hiccups. Doing the work, hard work, to bring you the best Auburn sports content you'll find anywhere.
Bring flowers for because mine tend to be weak. It's getting on my nerves, but hey, listen, it is what it is. But let's get in here and talk about the conversation. The A-Day game is coming up Saturday, and Auburn is going to be playing kind of football, right? I don't know that it's going to be actual football, right? Like, it's going to be a version of football. I talked about the weird formatting thing. If you watch last year's A-Day game, going to be very similar. So you can go back and watch the morning drop to hear more about the format for the game. But interestingly enough, Coach Hugh Freeze, not the War Report, trying to talk about quarterback again. Coach Hugh Freeze talked about the quarterback position, and he had comments on what the quarterback race looked like going into the A-Day game. I'm going to play Coach Hugh Freeze's comments, and then Mike and I are going to have a conversation about that, and then we're going to hear your thoughts, or we're going to read your thoughts about that. That sounds like the format of a really great show, because I know you all have some wonderful thoughts. Let's hear Coach Hugh Freeze, and then we'll get back and give some commentary.
Peyton's going to be in it. It's going to be hard to say. I mean, as excited as we are about Walker, the other three are getting the majority of the reps probably come fall camp. I'm really excited about Walker too. So we'll see. It's going to be hard to get four. We've done a good job getting them a bunch of reps in spring. It's probably hurt Peyton some because he hadn't gotten as many as, but we feel like he'll be fine come fall camp. But we really need to solidify who's really competing for the starting job, thus being the backup, with whichever way that goes by fall camp, and probably have to do that a week into fall camp, no more. And now Peyton will still be in the lead pole position come fall camp right now, based on what we've seen this spring. But I do think that the gap's not very far from him and Hank and Holden. And again, that doesn't mean Walker's not doing well. He's learning, but he's really, really talented. Going into fall camp is still, Peyton will be in that number one spot.
So Coach Hugh Freeze says Peyton Thorne is in pole position. This isn't really news, right? Like he said before that Peyton Thorne it's his job to lose. This is a reinforcing of the same thought process. Now, what I didn't play in that clip was he later goes on to talk about how that gap isn't as narrowed, right? There's going to be a competition for quarterback one and, you know, reps and all that sort of thing in the fall. And whoever wins that competition will be QB one. Whoever loses it will be QB two. Mike G, what were your thoughts on all of the things Coach Hugh Freeze had to say about the quarterback competition?
Well, that follow up, that was me asking the question about clarification on the QB race. You know, he said going into camp that it was Peyton's job to lose. I wanted fans to hear whether the other quarterbacks had closed the gap some. Honestly, I don't know if the two statements he made actually line up. You know what I mean? And for those of you who are just joining us, I don't know if the statement now before A-Day that he's going to be in the lead pole position going into fall camp, but the others are close. I don't know if those two things can be true. So the other part of that question that I asked, we didn't play the question there, was, you know, is there anything that these guys can do, you know, between now and the end of A-Day to close that gap maybe? If he's going to be QB1 going in, it doesn't sound like there's much they can do. They're just at where they're at right now. So now what does that mean in terms of the quarterback race? Well, they've said that Peyton Thorne has been the most consistent. All our sources tell us that he has been the most consistent. But where's that bar for consistency? That's the most consistent of the guys who are there. But does that equal consistent in general at the QB position? Well, we don't know. We don't know the answer to that. So this is going to be a hot topic, I think, going in. Our comment sections have been flooded with people who are one side or the other.
QB is always a very polarizing thing. This is the weird thing, right? Like it was polarizing from the beginning with any of these quarterback competitions. And we kept thinking, all right, somebody's going to come out here and they're going to be the clear everybody's behind. And it just has never happened. There's never been a guy that everybody's like, yep, he's the guy we're going to roll. No, it's one side or the other. He's either terrible or give him a chance. You guys are being too hard on him.
Yeah, it will just be interesting to see. Like, I don't necessarily have a problem with them going into the season with Peyton Thorne at QB1. As a matter of fact, I don't have a problem with it at all. My whole thing is, when do you pull the plug?
Correct.
When have you seen enough? If it's not going well. You know, they've said some curious things in the media this camp that I'm not sure I'm in love with it. Sounds like we might need some more media training on that side. But, you know, Sam Jackson got in front of a camera, Ike, and said that he felt like Peyton's numbers weren't better because of he didn't have receivers.
Correct. Which he's echoing things that a lot of other people have said in the fan base and in the media.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, Coach Hugh Freeze has said it multiple times that he didn't feel as if the wide receivers did very well. It's a little bit of a bailout. I mean, he's shooting his guy some bail, right? Like, that's his friend. And so he's shooting him some
bail. But you're in that room with some of those guys. So if I'm your teammate and I'm hearing that, because you know the receivers probably have a different version of that in their mind about why the passing game didn't go well. Now, some things can be true but not be said. And some of the things that they're saying, I don't know that it's creating a healthy teamwork environment. You know, Peyton came out and said, you know, well, I don't expect to run the ball as much because, again, same thing.
I got
thing.
Better receivers and, this year. All right.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay. Again, it can be true, but does it need to be said? I don't think that needs to be said. So these are the kind of things that kind of affect you on game day that are hard to quantify in terms of like stats and things of that nature. You need a team that's pulling the same direction. Now, I think that a better scheme and a more consistent scheme and no tug of war between OC and head coach should produce a better passing game. But the bar is kind of on the floor when it comes to Peyton in terms of his stats last year. And no matter why you think it's on the floor, it just has to get better. So are they taking steps this spring to make that better?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, the biggest thing for this team and for Peyton Thorne is to figure out the word that they keep using is he's been the most consistent, right? And the debate that you and I are not having amongst one another, we're not debating each other on it, but are introducing the conversation into this debate or a point into this debate is what does that consistency look like? Because you can be consistently bad, right? Like you can be consistently mediocre. You can be consistently just okay. And the question is, he's being the most consistent. So he's like got the least variation where it's like really, really bad. And then sometimes it's really, really good. He's more like in the middle, but that's not the same thing as saying he's been good.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, there are other ways I think that you're going to have to look at this if you're Hugh Freeze, because the three guys that you will have behind him don't have a lot of game day experience. So at some point you're going to have to take a step of faith. And will Hugh Freeze, you know, have the cojones to say, you know what? I'm going to go with a total unknown here. They did it at the end of the bowl game, but, you know, maybe he thought the game was out of reach. It's like, why not give these guys a shot? It's the last game of the season. Hank Brown, I think, is one of the few quarterbacks we've seen at Auburn in the last 10 years to step in, Ike, and make the most out of just a few opportunities. Right. Like, think about it. His first 9 throws in a college game. And he went 7 for 9 for 132. Incredible. And maybe Hank Brown's a gamer. He certainly hasn't been getting glowing reports in camp. Really nobody has at the QB position. We hear Walker is swimming. You know, Holden is maybe inconsistent. Hank is inconsistent. Hayden is the most consistent. But if the other three are a 4 out of 10 in terms of consistency and Thorne is a 5 out of 10. Well, he's the most consistent, but that's not where you want the bar to be for your season. You know, and when we say consistency, I think that 10-point scale works, right? Because if he's a 6 out of 10, he's 60%. Ish, right? And that's about where he was. We got some stats on here. Should we look at the stats?
Yeah, we can take a look at Peyton Thorne's stats here.
Yeah.
Peyton Thorne is a guy who, but listen, I mean, it's not a secret what his numbers were last season, but they weren't great, right? They weren't great numbers. And here's the thing I want people to stop doing. I would personally love if people stopped trying to blame the wide receivers for it all. Like, they own a portion of it. They 100% own a portion of
it. They do.
It wasn't a great wide receiver core, particularly the outside. Listen, Sam Jackson didn't tell a lie. The outside receivers weren't very good for Auburn last year. They weren't.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
And it got progressively worse when they took, I'm going to be Mike G here for a second. When they took Jay Fair off of the field, it got progressively worse for that wide receiver room in as far as being able to produce on a consistent basis. And I don't personally think that it's fair to lump what Peyton Thorne didn't do last year on the wide receivers completely, as if the coaches didn't signal to you, hey, we don't think that we can throw the ball, so we're just going to run it with our quarterback more. That's got a portion of that has to do with Peyton Thorne.
With the quarterback. Right?
And so anyway, listen, this isn't beat up on Peyton Thorne time. But the numbers are what they are. Let's take a look at Peyton Thorne's numbers.
Yeah. Well, you got to start there, Ike, to have a basis for a conversation about where it needs to be for the season. If he's going to be your starter for all of 2023, I don't think anybody expects Auburn to win a national championship next year, but you certainly got to move the passing game the right direction.
So last year, again, the numbers are what they are. Just reading the numbers, not reading anything into them. 61.1%. It's not good. That's just, there's no two ways to slice that. It's not good. 1755 on yardage. Not good. Average per completion. Decent. Touchdown to interception ratio. Not good. Rush attempts and rush yards. 515 is actually an admirable number. Like, I'd take that from Peyton Thorne again this season, and I think that'd be a good number if the number of your passing yards is going to go up significantly. Rushing touchdowns, sacks. Like, took a lot of sacks last year. Average rushing yards, 3.8. Right. Rushing touchdowns, 3 total on the season. I mean, again, the numbers were okay. But for the most part, not good. And we have a lot of things that need to get worked on. The hope here is that the new offense with Coach Freeze is going to be something that's going to revolutionize the ability of Peyton Thorne, and with improved play from those outside receivers, right? Like, again, not absolving the receivers. The receivers 100% need to play better as a unit.
Mm.
But Peyton Thorne's got to own a portion of this, and his responsibility is to figure out how, within whatever the system is going to be the best player he can be. And something you've been fond of saying, Mike, is he needs to be the guy as the senior in that room, elevating the play of the offense, not other people bringing his play up at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I just want to point out, hold on, can we put the stats back up? Yeah, I just want people to be able to look at it. So when I think about these numbers, I think about another quarterback. What's another quarterback Auburn had that was around low 60s, you know, passing on a season going into next season? Well, in Auburn's national title year, Nick Marshall was 59.4% on the season in 2013. You know, Thorne had 265 attempts here. Marshall had 239 and only 142 completions, right? But he threw for 14 touchdowns, two less than Thorne here, but only six interceptions. Now, where Marshall was a difference maker, obviously, was with his legs. That year, he had 172 rush attempts. You see here, Thorne had 134 and 1,068 yards. So he doubles them up in yards here at 6.21 yards per carry and 12 touchdowns on the ground. So, again, you got 19 total touchdowns from Thorne. Even though Marshall was a 60% passer, you know, he produced 26 touchdowns on the ground and through the air. And I think that, you know, when you look at the other stat, where is it? Here's the other thing that's glaring here. In the passing game, although Marshall took less attempts and completed less passes and had a lesser percentage by 2%, his average yards per throw was 18.4. Nick Marshall could push the ball down the field. You know, Thorne's average at 6.6 yards per throw is definitely not going to get it. Now, again, some of that is on the receivers, 100%. Like, you know, you drop deep balls, it's going to hurt this yards per throw average for him. But also, when you don't throw it well, like we saw in the bowl game, that deep post to Caleb Burton, open. Right. It was open. He had a step. You missed it, and, you know, that wasn't a touch, probably a touchdown if you hit that pass. You know, Hank Brown came in, made the same throw. You know, I think that that's where we got to think about Thorne here this year. Can he make that throw
right
more consistently? Give these guys a chance. And if you're doing that and they're just dropping it, I think everybody will see it for what it is, right? So it's going to be interesting going into the season here. Cam Coleman's going to play, and he's going to help these numbers, I think, you know, 7 to 10%. Right. Like, and not in completion percentage, like he's not going to be good to push them to 70%, but I mean, you know, 7 to 10% more completions, right? Over, you know, whatever, you know, another 16 completions, probably he might be good for.
Yeah.
On the season, right? You know, just him alone. Thorne expects to not, and this is worse than result, he expects to not have to rush the ball as much. 134 rush attempts is actually quite a bit. I think that's a lot for him.
I mean, it's way more than I expected. I did not think Peyton Thorne was going to be running the ball that much coming into the season.
Yeah, yeah. So, like I said, I get why he's the leader in the clubhouse. And, you know, he's been in college. This is going to be his fourth year as a starter. I think sixth year in college overall. You know, and he should be the leader. Underrated, I think, stat here. We could pull this graphic down. Like, just kind of a note, right? Like, in terms of preparing for the season and trying to get, you know, ahead of the game and learning the new terminology and doing all this stuff, one of the advantages that Peyton has, and I think that every graduate has, is that his class load is lighter than the other three in the room by far. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Thorne practically spends his whole day at the athletic department.
I mean, that
or in the training facility.
Being further ahead of everyone else. Let's just take the years of experience he has as a starting quarterback out of the conversation. If they were all starting from zero knowledge, zero starting experience, and Peyton Thorne was coming in there with the amount of hours he has available to get prepared for practice, there's no reason he shouldn't be winning this race just off of that alone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, because that's what that's what he should do. That's what I would do if 100%. I were him. You know, if I'm trying to win a quarterback race and you guys got to go take advanced calculus and I'm a graduate student, and I'm taking, what was that class we used to take? Dr. James Brown, organic gardening. When you needed an aid, Dr. James Brown was there for you. Yeah, I'm going to be in there all the time, training, recovering, looking at film, again, studying the playbook. And there's no way you're going to beat me out because I have more time to beat you than you have time to beat me. I like that. And then going into his senior season, if there's a chance that he's going to improve, this should be a huge advantage for him. Now, mind you, remember, Thorne came in after spring last year. And so that probably hindered him some a little with the tug of war that was going on. But now that they simplified the, you know, well, I don't want to say simplified because I don't know that it's been simplified. But they've gone back to terminology that Freeze is comfortable with, Ike. They've gone back to terminology he's comfortable with. And he's had a whole spring to kind of absorb that, get used to the new guys. And Thorne to Cam Coleman is something that we might hear quite a bit next year. So, like I said, if there's hope, I think, for fans that Thorne is going to take the next step, there are some favorable things for him that are happening here where he can spend more time on football this year than he had last year and than he would have if he were still an undergraduate student. No, because I'm telling you right now, Hank Brown, Holden Garner, and Walker White are all averaging probably 15 to 20 hour class loads right now. You know, Thorne probably doesn't have 10.
No, I'd be shocked if Thorne is.
Double digit hours, right? As a graduate student. So that's a good thing. That might end up being a good thing for Auburn football that he has that time available if he's going to be the leader going into camp. And then he can do, again, what you pointed out, I've been saying, step up as a leader as the most experienced guy to elevate the guys around him. To be that extra coach on the field, to coach guys, make sure they are where they're supposed to be. You know, before each play, again, this could be a net positive for Auburn if I'm trying to see the glass half full.
Let me say this, because, of course, we always get labeled as the hater of whoever it is that we say anything negative about. It doesn't matter how many good things we say about the person. If I say anything negative, now all of a sudden I hate this person. Let me say this definitively. The hope of every Auburn fan is that you get the Peyton Thorne that was the best version of him and not year one Auburn version of him. Peyton Thorne that exists out there on tape in Power 5 as a starting quarterback in which he quarterbacks a team to only two losses on the season. So it is for people who think that he is only as good as his worst season and is not capable of at least reaching close to what he's been at his best, that's unfair. The fairness of the conversation around Peyton Thorne is you've seen a really good season from him. Not greatness, not Heisman caliber, but really good. Serviceable. A guy that you would take on your team, and there's a reason why Coach Hugh Freeze liked what he saw in him when he came in. Even his worst season, season two at Michigan State, you'd take that guy over last year's Peyton Thorne as far as the numbers are concerned, right? So there is a version of Peyton Thorne that exists out there that you take as an Auburn fan. But last year was unacceptable. And to blame Auburn for that, as if his attempts weren't down, he wasn't running the ball more, he didn't like everything. Peyton's got to own a portion of that, right? And so you just need Peyton Thorne. We don't need the wide receivers to get better in order for Peyton Thorne to be better. You need Peyton Thorne to be better in order for Peyton Thorne to be better. The offensive play calling 100% could be better. The continuity, all of those things, wide receiver, yes, but you need Peyton Thorne to be better. And there is a version of Peyton Thorne that can be better, that is absent of all of this other stuff that people keep trying to pile onto the conversation. And let's squarely focus the conversation on that and just say, hey, do better, guy. That's fair.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Again, for reference here, because we're talking about numbers, I just want to talk about the yards per average, you know, the average yards per attempt, 6.6, right? That was good in the SEC last year. Holy crap. For 16th out of all quarterbacks in the SEC. Right. So the yards per attempt is, you know, when you look at Marshall's numbers, again, only 59% on the season. But when he threw the ball, if it was caught, it was a first down. So they were still moving the ball because he, on average, he was pushing the ball like 18 to 20 yards down the field. Like, right. And if they can find that part, then it might be a good thing. The other thing, you talked about that version of Peyton Thorne that Auburn is looking for. Well, that 2021 season, again, the needle didn't move in terms of completion percentage, 60.4%. But it produced 3,240 yards through the air. He had 130 more attempts on the season at about 390. So he went from 260-ish to 390 in terms of attempts, which is closer to what Hugh Freeze quarterbacks usually do. They throw the ball close to 400 times a year. Do they have it in them? Does Auburn have the system to let it fly almost 400 times this season? I think if you can do that, it's going to go really great or it's going to go really wrong. So if Freeze gets into, I'd say, safe mode, then you're going to see those attempts not rise very much. And they're going to run the ball and they're just going to try to get through the season. But if they let them sling it 30 times a game, you got a shot.
Yeah.
Right? At 12 games, that's like what? 360 attempts on the season.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
You know, throwing the bowl game and then you get pretty close.
The numbers are pretty easy to figure out how to get there. The question, and you know, again, there's a larger conversation around the offense's ability to stay on the field and all that sort of thing that needs to be had to help make that happen. But, you know, the brass tacks of it is he needs to throw the ball more in order for him to get to those numbers. You can't have the number of attempts he had unless his completion percentage is going to be almost flawless.
Or he's going to add 1,000 yards on the ground.
Yeah, which is, I think, right? Unreasonable.
Yeah, I think that's unreasonable. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes. I'm not as pessimistic about this as I was 3 weeks ago, but I still have concerns. Oh, it's
still concerning.
You know? I still have concerns about that passing game. And, you know, part of the thing that I have here is if their young receivers struggle, I do not want fans to start the he's a bust campaign thing on these kids, right? Like, you know, Cam Coleman, he's so much of a beast. They're not really considering the fact that he was struggling picking it up for the first, like, 10 practices. That's how good Cam Coleman is as a player.
Yeah, he's just physically gifted. So he's going to put it together eventually, but his talent is just basically covering up for the fact that he doesn't really know everything yet. He's just out there
playing football. He's that good. He's pretty much the only freshman that's getting that pass. The rest of them are spending a lot of time trying to catch up here. You know, lots of hype from some people about Bryce Kane. Listen, Bryce Kane is going to be a really good receiver at this level. Is he going to make an impact next year? I don't think so.
Not if, I mean, there's a long time between now and the fall. So he could, you know, he could start to put it together between now and then. But yeah, if they had to suit him up today, he wouldn't be ready.
Yeah, I don't know if he plays next year. Right. So that's where I'm at about this. I don't want fans to jump on the Coleman's a bust train the first time he goes out there, and he has a couple drops. Go back and look at the leading receivers in college football last year, right? Malik Nabers led college football. I mean, he was probably the best receiver in the country, if you ask me. And the fact that he did not win best receiver, what's the award called?
Biletnikoff.
As a Biletnikoff? Okay, yeah. I thought, for some reason, I thought that was like the kicker's award. But 89 receptions for 1,500 yards, 17.6 yards average, 14 TDs. Malik Nabers. He dropped the ball a lot and in high-pressure situations. I want people to hear me. Malik Nabers had multiple drops in some games. But they threw the ball at a high enough clip, and he got enough targets that it was easy to forget the ones he drops because he was getting a lot of opportunities to catch balls. And I think if you give these receivers more opportunities, their drops don't feel as bad. Or maybe they'll feel worse if they are truly the problem. But the amount of attempts that they got in what I would say was definitely a broken passing game that hurt both quarterback and receiver, that certainly hurt those averages quite a bit. So, you know, we're not going to, the first time, I'm telling you right now, if you're in the chat, if you dare come to our chat and say Cam Coleman is a bust, you're muted for 5 minutes.
Right. It's just,
I'm muting anybody who tries to tell me Cam Coleman's a bust. This kid is not a bust. You know, and the only way he doesn't leave here with every receiving record ever in Auburn history is because Auburn failed. Yeah, because
he's too talented for it to be otherwise.
No, man. This has got to be the place where five stars thrive and not the place where five stars come to die. And, you know, too often in Auburn's history, it's been the latter, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I want to get into the conversation because there's a lot of commentary going on here in the chat. We're going to take a break, pay some bills really quickly, but we're going to come back and we are going to get into your comments.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There's a lot that could impress you about the all-new Honda Prologue EV. True, it's got class-leading passenger space and clean, thoughtful design and intuitive technology. But what really sets the Prologue apart from the competition is that it's more than an EV. It's a Honda. Honda, the power of dreams. Visit Honda.com/Prologue to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From raspberry lemon lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing cherry and Palavo pineapple mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
Brad Browning jumps in and says, can we at least admit that there was a QB competition this spring? Before you jump in here, Mike, I'm going to say, no, I cannot admit that. I can admit there was a QB2 competition.
Yeah, there's definitely a competition going on between Hank Brown and Holden Garner.
100%. Yeah, but no, we can't admit that. Let me not speak for anybody else. I can't admit that.
Yeah, after the bowl game, Hugh Freeze said it would be wide open. And then before spring practice started, he said it was Payton's job to lose. And then we're not even done with spring practice. He's saying he's going to be one going into fall camp. I don't know that there was a competition. I mean, he told us before camp started what he felt. And that's before they have done a practice. So, you know, and I just don't know. I don't think that these guys are going to have what it takes for this coach to overcome Peyton's experience on the field before the start of the season, right? If Peyton Thorne's going to lose his job, he's going to have to lose it in season, simply. Yeah, he's not going to do it before the season.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, man. And no, that there was no competition this spring, not for QB1. For QB2, yes. There's a fierce competition for the backups.
Yeah, for sure.
Ant Robinson says, so why can't we talk about the most interesting battle? The defense could be the number one in the SEC.
I don't know.
So let me say this. I talk about all of the position groups. I've done morning drops on all of this stuff. If it were truly the most interesting battle, tell me why the views are so much more lopsided when we talk about quarterback's always going to be the most interesting battle that exists.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried here, Ant, about the D-line.
Yeah, there's some concerns there.
I got some concerns there, right? And so we'll see.
From a depth perspective, they've got talent. I just don't think we're deep enough right now.
Yeah, let's see if the scheme helps elevate these guys as well. Like, it's something about putting guys in the right positions and calling the right plays that turns average players into stars and or young guys into stars early. So I'll be interested to see what DJ Durkin cooks up, man, him and Charles Kelly. Like, let's just see what these guys have in the bag. I'm open to it. Last year, I thought they outperformed every expectation any fan had for what they could do, given how little offense was produced and how long they had to be on the field. So, you know, if they pitch six games again where they hold an opponent to less than two scores, man, to me, that would be spectacular, even given what they lost.
Yeah. Brad Browning rebutting, saying, so Coach Hugh Freeze just gave the position to Peyton Thorne without any analyzing. If that's the case, a $6 million a year coach needs to go ahead and get fired now. So let me say this. You can rewind. You know, it's a YouTube video. I didn't say that. What I did say was that Peyton Thorne came into the competition at a true competition. So let's just a race.
They didn't all start
any,
from zero.
Any race that exists, everyone is supposed to start from the same starting
point. Same start point, yes.
So
they didn't do that.
If you give someone first position, which is the pole position, what he said Peyton Thorne is in, before the race starts, then everybody else has to do more work to be able to catch up. Now, in racing, you earn the pole position, right? There's something that happens that allows you to earn a pole position in that situation, which gives you an advantage to start it. And everybody else has to make up that distance. A true quarterback competition would be more like a foot race, where everybody starts from the same starting line.
Yeah.
And whoever gets to the end and wins, wins. There is no advantage given at the beginning. So that's not what happened in this scenario. And that's not an opinion I have. That is what Coach Hugh Freeze said out of his own mouth. Starting before a single practice happened, Peyton Thorne, it's his job to lose. You put him in the starting seat before they started the competition. So no, that's not a fair competition. Now, did he do any analysis to keep him there? Absolutely. Did Peyton Thorne have every advantage to be able to win that? 100%. Does that mean I disagree with his decision? Not at all. I think Peyton Thorne has done enough to keep the starting position. I don't think someone should be starting over him as of today. But the question was, do I think it was a fair QB competition? No, I still don't.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, man, and that's fine as long as you're right.
Or willing to pivot when you're wrong, right? And it's always been the thing.
Yeah, I think you got to be right, and it's got to produce. It can't be bottom of the league. Look, man, even if Thorne was a middle of the pack SEC guy, we're not even sitting here talking about it, right? Like, if he was like sixth or seventh in the league in passing, you know, for all the guys who started like 50% of their team's games, this is not a conversation. It's just, you know, the scheme has to help them and the receivers have to do better, and that's it in the discussion, right? But bottom of the league, that's a little bit of everybody crap in the bed. Thorne can only be responsible for what he can control. Just like Freeze has to be responsible for his part, and the receivers have to do their part, and the line has to do their part.
Yeah.
Right. All of it needs to get better. I'm just saying, when you evaluate Thorne, like, all of that wasn't on everybody else. Some of that was on him. So, and you can evaluate that apart from the other factors.
Yeah.
Right. So.
All right. Let's see here. Last one. Walker Cho comes in. Does this mean that Peyton has gotten better, or the other QBs aren't that good except Walker because he's a freshman?
Yeah, that is the question I think that everybody has. Does it mean that Peyton's gotten better, or are the other guys just not that good? So default.
Yeah.
We'll find out. We'll find out come the season.
We will definitely find out, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there. Again, I endorse whoever Coach Hugh Freeze endorses. I have no choice but to say, hey, listen, you think he's the best guy? Great, roll him out there. Let's see what happens. My only thing is, if it doesn't go well, are you willing to go in a different direction? And that's what was yet to be seen. But all right, let's get off of that. There's so much more, and we can, you know, talk about quarterback from now until the first game of the season. And we will definitely talk about this more as things progress, and we'll have more to say about this after the A-Day game.